building of yeshiva. And they ask him, how in the world does he sleep? There's hundreds of bochrim in the yeshiva, and in Volozhin they learned around the clock. They learned for 90 years, they didn't stop learning. He says, how does he sleep? He says, I'll tell you. He says, I'm like a factory owner that lives on the grounds of his factory. As long as the machine's going, are going, he sleeps comfortably. The second the machine stops, he wakes up, you know. So that's what I'm saying. They're learning upstairs, that's fine. I wanted to look at the seventh parak in Hilchos Tshuva. I hope in the Shabbos Shuvah, Rosh Baruch Hashem, I'm working on the latter prokem of the Rambam. In Hilchos Tshuva. My attention is focused on the Shabbos Shuvah on the 10th parak. So, as I shall hopefully from now to Shabbos Shuvah, it'll get finished. But tonight I want to look at Parak Shvi. Now, the Rambam has already written 6 prokem on Shuvah already, by this point, 6 of 10 prokem. At the very beginning, the Rambam tells us in the subtitle, Mitzvah to say Achas, V'hi sheyoshev achayte mecheta. The Rambam was clear, Shuvah is not optional. As I know, the Ben Chuschinach has an idea that I just cannot assimilate. Shuvah is mandatory. V'hi sheyoshev achayte mecheta. Lifnei Hashem v'yizvada. Obir mitzvah zu v'ikrim hanegroam imo v'glolo, and those things, notions which were associated with it, are the prokem elam. I will be explained in these prokem. So here the Rambam told us at the beginning, called mitzvah asei shebetera, whether it's an asei, called a mitzvah shebetera, ben asei, ben lois asei, imover odom al achas mehen, bezodin, kishiyas a tshuva. When he gets around to doing tshuva, this is the process that you have to do. It doesn't mean that you can do it or not do it. When you decide finally, when you get up to the point and you're ready to do tshuva for it, this is what you have to do. And the vidu is the ikra tshuva. Fine. Now, so the Rambam already talked about tshuva. The Rambam in Perek Beis, the Maisa, okay, Bekitzer, the Maisa tshuva is the vidu. The charoto, according to the Rambam and the Vida, the necessary prerequisites. But Maisa Tshuva, the Maisa Mitzvah of Tshuva is Vida. You can't do Tshuva, obviously, without the Vida and charoto, but those things are belief. There's a Maisa Tshuva, it's not only belief, but the Maisa Tshuva is Vida. Okay? That's a long shows, that's not for today. Then the Rambam and Perek Beis, Ezu Tshuva Gemura, Zeshabo, Duru, Liyoda Dvar Veira, Pirish, etc. And the Rambam tells us what's tshuva gemura. That a person comes back to the same opportunity, the same situation that he was in before. And he doesn't sin. And that's the pshat in the enigmatic story at the very beginning of Sefer Melachim. That David HaMelech, and he's old, and he gets this the Pelegish to come, and he doesn't marry her. It's the whole story. Now, what's the point of the story? That is a very strange chazal. At first glance, very strange in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. But when we look into it deeply, it's exactly the point what the Rambam is discussing. That we're going to get a second parak. So she came to David HaMelech, and he told her that, you know, he has no interest in living with her husband and wife because he has too many wives already, according to the Torah. So Avishak told him, you know, old thieves, when they get too old to steal, they claim that they're honest people. But they're not honest, they're just over the hill, that's it, you know. So you're an old man, that's it, you know, Mamela, that's why, you know, you have no interest in me. But, you know, if you had, we'd be young and vigorous, listen, you know. So what it says, that David HaMelech called Bathsheba to him, and it says he lived with her 13 times. It's a very strange Gemara. Like, what in the world did the Gemara want? So I saw this Gemara only once, and it struck me, and I shared it with an Adam Godel. And he said, such enigmatic Chazal, he said, it's one of the reasons he's not a big fan of translating the Shas for that reason. He says, there's things in the Shas that are too enigmatic for most people to understand and comprehend. But the Mahalach he liked. I said, but Dovra Melech showed, in fact, that he did for the Chet of Basheva that he had done Tshuva Gemur. Why? Because Dovra Melech saw, in fact, that he was still quite vigorous in his old age. And it wasn't his inability to sin which caused him to shy away from Avishak, but rather because the halacha itself. So, that's what he put himself, in other words, he showed, he demonstrated to himself that his motivations, we never know our motivation for tshuva. Do we know if we did tshuva gemara? But when Dovra Melech saw that he was still vigorous, so then the reason that he sinned wasn't because he was old, and that he didn't sin. The reason that he didn't sin was because he observed halacha. So this was the tshuva gemura, in fact, for the chet of Basheva. And that's why it's the very closing story in the life of Dovra Melech. At the end of his life, he succeeded finally in achieving tshuva gemura for the chet of Basheva. So that's why, that's the perish. In other words, the Novi is very strange, the story that it tells us these details, and the Gemara is even stranger. But from the standpoint of the Rambam, we understand what the Gemara, what Dovra Melech wanted. And this was really the crowning achievement of his life. In other words, his biggest mistake in life, he succeeded in the closing chapter of his life in achieving tshuva gemura for it. So here the Rambam goes through and he talks about what we have to do tshuva, and we darkly at tshuva, etc. On and on and on. Then all of a sudden the Rambam comes to Perek Shvi and he says, we'll come back. The Rambam went into an aside in Perek Chamishi and Perek Shishi. Rishus kolodim the sunalo. Man has free will. We don't believe in determinism. He's able to make himself righteous. And on the other hand, he's able to make himself righteous. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam stands back. He allows man the space to act on his free will. And then the Rambam goes into a whole parak about and this is the pillar upon which the entire Torah rests, obviously. Now, without Bechira Chopshis, then what's the point of mitzvahs? I mean, we have, the truth of the matter is, it's a very strange world we live in. And a world which believes so much in a deterministic psychology, and that man does not have free will. That man is, that's the whole world, the mental health world, that's what they believe. So how do we have a criminal justice system? How do we demand anyone do anything? Sherman, you know, you did the right thing. That's because God gave you such a soul. So that's it. The poor guy that's in Rikers Island, God gave him a different soul. Right? And that's what Eve said. He said, no, Durabodesh, he said, there's Gan Eden, there's Gan Eden. There's Gehenna, you know, the righteous are destined for Gehenna. And they said to the Rabbi Shalom, and the evil are destined for Gehenna. That's destiny. So what's going on here? You know, we're not going to go into the Baba Basra with the Rabbi Shalom answered him. Eve raised the question. So, well, we don't make any sense in our society. Poseach Hashtei Asifa, we can't figure it out. The Rambam, it's Iker, the whole Torah stands upon it. And then the Rambam Perek Shishi tells us, Sukkim Harvi Yesh B'Torah V'Dibra Yerim Shein Nirem Kisaisri, because that there are many Sukkim which seem to contradict this. And he goes into explaining it. Fine. Don't think that this world is, everything is predestined by the decree of the Rabbeinu Shem. So that's Perek Chamishi and Perek Shishi. Now, all of a sudden, so that's in the middle of Hilchas Tshuva. The Rambam finished four program in Tshuva. Then the Rambam decided that this is a good place to discuss Bechira, Chofshis, free will. And he takes two program to discuss free will. Now, in Perek Shvi, the Rambam said, okay, my aside is over now, and now we're going to come back to tshuva. And now he says, called Adam the sooner, since man has free will, as I just spent the last two prokim, Chamishi and Shishi explaining to you, is Yishtadil Adam Lasas tshuva, man ought to strive to do tshuva, Linor Chap of Mechatov, and to shake free of his sins, Kadesha Yomus, that when we die, we will tshuva, we should be righteous people. Kadesha Yiske, Lechayo Elamabo. And then the Rambam talks, so we'll come on, we'll go further into this Perek soon. This is one of the strangest halachas that I ever saw in the Rambam. If the Rambam saw fit to discuss Bechira Chofshis, you want, that's the Omer HaTorah. Discuss that at the beginning of Hilchos Teshuva. Discuss it in Yisaydei HaTorah. That without that, there's no Torah. The whole notion of the Torah doesn't exist without Bechira Chofshis. Yeah. The Rambam wrote four Prokem and Teshuva before he discussed Bechira Chofshis. Now the Rambam says, well, now that I've gone into great lengths to tell you about how significant the matter of Bechira Chofshis is, free will, well, Yishtadal Adam Lasas Teshuva. And what did you write, Rambam, at the beginning, in the first paragraph, before you got to discussing? I mean, why? What am I doing Teshuva for if I didn't have free will, so I didn't sin, right? The person, if the Rebbeinu Shalom forces a person to do something, and there are times in history that the Rebbeinu Shalom forces a person, takes away Chazal Tavis Bechira Chofshis, and forces a person to do something for the Rabbeinu Shalom's ends. So sometimes the person is not accountable for such an act because the Rabbeinu Shalom forced him into it. He gave him no choice. The Rabbeinu Shalom had his own end that he wanted to achieve for it, and he forced him to do it. And that's it. It's not something that he chose to do. So obviously we're doing tshuva for the things that we chose to do. So that's the whole first four prokem in Hilchos Teshuva. So why, after Perek Revi, the Rambam says, oh, well, let's take a step back. Let's discuss Bechira Chofshis. And now, okay, we'll start again now. Now that we know that Bechira Chofshis, where's the Rambam coming from? If you want to tell me that I have to do tshuva because I've sinned, and it's not clear until now the whole idea of mitzvahs, the Rambam was writing a sefer to explain what the Taryag mitzvahs are about. He wrote sefer on mitzvahs to outline the Taryag mitzvahs, and now he wrote the Yad to explain the Taryag mitzvahs. So, if he didn't write it at the beginning, and even if somehow we got up to Hilchos Teshuva without discussing it, the Rambam talked about the halachas of Avodah Zorah before this. So what are you trying to have? Halachas of Talmud Torah, Hilchos Deis, all types of halachas the Rambam discussed. So if he didn't think it was important to discuss Bechira Chofshis before telling me that there are mitzvahs, plunk, in the middle of mitzvahs Teshuva, the Rambam says, oh, by the way, let me, you know, I forgot to write at the beginning of the book about Bechira Chofshis, and now all of a sudden, Hoyle Rishus Kolodin is sooner local Moshe Beyond Yishtad Lodim Lasses Tshuva. One of the strangest Rambams that I ever saw. So I think that if we're eyeing carefully into the Rambam, we'll see what the Rambam wants. In Halacha Beis, in Perek Shvi, the Rambam says, Lolem Yira Odomus Atzmo Kilu Hunoit Olomus. Man should imagine every day as if he's closing in on the end of his life. The famous Chazal that would tell us that a person should be Shuva Yomechad Lifnei Misoscha. So when is that? You're right. So every day, yeah, we have to do Shuva because we don't know. When we don't know when we're going to leave this world. B'shem Yomus B'shaito V'rim Tzalimit B'chatov, that he won't have the opportunity to do Shuva. I once mentioned to a person that in my teenage years I went to Eretz Yisrael for the first time. So, if it's actually true or not, I don't know. But in Tzfas they say that if you go to the Arizal's mikveh, that it's a schus that you should have the opportunity to do tshuva before you die. So I once mentioned it to a person, a middle-aged person. So he said it's a gewaldig thing. A phenomenal thing that you should have that schus, you know, laf kol adam zeicha. And the strange thing was that this person himself died suddenly. In 1 second, he was gone from the world. When his time came, without any warning, he was gone. But I remember him telling me when I told him that I'd been in Eretz Yisrael and I went to the Arizal's mikvah, so he commented, what a phenomenal schus. that you know that you'll have the opportunity to do tshuva before you die. Lefikach, yoshel mechatov miyad, the Rambam says. We should do tshuva immediately. And a person shouldn't say, listen. You know, there are things to do when you're young and vigorous. It's time to work, to earn money, whatever. Do whatever you want to do in this world. Okay, kisha ask him when I get old, you know, when they feel like I'm winding down already. Then also, then I'll be busy with tshuva. But the Rambam says, Shema yomus koydim shayaskin. Who's to tell us that we're going to reach old age? Halavai, the Rambam Hashem should grant all of us that bracha. But we don't know. That always she should always have a clean suit of clothes. Now the Melech may call you when you're not expecting. Shlomo HaMelech says. So what are you going to do then? If all your clothes are dirty, and you get called before the king, so keep a clean suit in the closet. So if you show up, you'll show up looking like a mensch. The Shemen Aroish Chal Yechsa. You know, be prepared. That's halacha b'is. Halacha gimel. Va'al taimar. And don't think, the Rambam says, She'ein ha'tshuva lami aver she'esh mehen ma'isa. That tshuva only includes those things where we've sinned by action. Kigoyin znus, if a person was involved in immoral activities, the gezel l'geneva, theft, thievery. Says, don't make that mistake, the Rambam says. Kishem she'tzorech, odom, loshu me'elo, just as we have to do tshuva from those things, kachu tzorech l'chapis v'deyos rosh yesh lo v'loshu mehen. That we have to examine. In deus, the Rambam means what we call midas. A person has to examine improper attitudes and do tshuva for them. Minakas from anger, minaiva from hatred, minakina from jealousy, minatacharos, and for being overly competitive with others, minahito, and from being frivolous in life, umin redifas hamoman, and for chasing money incessantly, v'hakovod, and seeking honor, umin redifas hamacholos, and being obsessed, you know, with good food. Obsessed. The person shouldn't eat good food, but obsessed with it. Redifas hamacholos. You know, we heard there's a new restaurant in Hawaii, you know, he has to make sure that he takes the plane there next week, because Khalil should close before he gets there, you know. Miss one of life's opportunities. From all of these things, we have to do tshuva. The Rambam was, to a certain extent, the Rambam was, in his writings, whatever, the Rambam was noit a little bit towards asceticism. But here the Rambam is writing mitzad ad-din, not mitzad, you know, chassidus. The Rambam himself, in his own life, it seems, was in fact noit, he was a chassid, and his perspective, he was critical, in fact, of the French Jews, that they were too indulgent, too indulged in Olam Hazeh. You know, friends, they knew what the good life was, even, you know. What?
Even then,
yeah, listen, they lived in one country, the Riviera was, you know, it's 11, you know, the Rambam apparently wrote someplace. He was not, you know, pleased with that type of lifestyle. Yeah.
I think he was a Moshe Feinstein. Had some sort of tshuva, some sort of position, that it wasn't a good idea to have every type of restaurant that a person could, that, you know, to make kosher every type of food around the world that is available.
I don't know that he wrote a tshuva, but it's obviously true. You know, we don't. But Elamai Chazal also understood human frailty. There's a phenomenal Gemara in the sixth parak of Chulin. The Gemara says there's nothing that's totally banned in this world. Everything that the Rabbeinu Shalom banned is something parallel to it, which is Mutter. The Gemara even says, whatever, this is a banned, there's a different creature in the world with a very similar taste that is Mutter for a person. So it doesn't mean that an Ish Chosid wants to live his life on that level. But not everyone is an Ish Chosid. You know, the first thing that we have to be assured of in this world is that we're mekayim the din. And there are all different levels in the Shem Shamayim. There's a person that's the Shem Shamayim that he doesn't take pleasure from this world. It's, you know, holy Jews. There's a L'shem Shemayim in this world, that we take pleasure from this world in a way which is mutter, so that we don't become captivated by the Yetzer Hara, to take it in ways which are also. That's also L'shem Shemayim. That's also a level of L'shem Shemayim. And, you know, that's where our avodah is. We should not, you know, we're not ready, not coming from this society with the time and place that we've lived in and grown up in, to be a chosid and a porosh, you know, like the olim of previous generations. You know, we don't have shaychas with those mandrakes. Halavai, that the base side of society doesn't grab a hold of us, you know, that we're zoicha to get our way with their heter in this world. So this is chiyuv, and the Rambam is not talking lefnimishor zadin, and not mechuyuv to do tshuva. These are chaton. Ve'elu ha'avoinus, the Rambam writes, koshen meyosim sheish mehen meisim. These are more difficult to correct, midas, than to correct sins of commission. Why? Shebizman shodim nishka ve'elu koshen hu'lifur. Very difficult to change. Ve'cheinu oimer. And he cites the Novi in Yeshaya, which we read on the Tainayos Tzibur. V'cheinu oimer yazev rosh darko v'yish ovin nachshav oisav. V'yoshav al Hashem v'rachameyo v'yel alokeinu ki arba v'sloyach. So here the Rambam writes, yazev rosh darko v'yish ovin nachshav oisav. The Novi in Yeshaya is not talking about Maisa HaMitzvahs. But Yosef Rosh Adarkov is Oven Machshav Yisrael. He's talking about a derech, attitudes, midas. Yosef Rosh Adarkov is Oven Machshav Yisrael. The things that are the gather of machshavas, they're internal to the person. They're not expressed in action. They're attitudes, their perspectives on the world. And the Novi tells us Yosef Rosh Adarkov is Oven Machshav Yisrael. And I believe that in this halacha, in halacha gimel, the Rambam reveals to us the seed, what's driving him in Perek Shvi. The Rambam ended that what's the most difficult thing to change is midas. Ve'ilu avoinus koshen me'oisin sheyesh ben maisa. They're much more difficult to change. So mizman shodan nishka, ve'ilu koshen hu lifresh. And that's why the Rambam entered into a discussion of Bechira in this parak. The Rambam wrote about Chavada. There certainly is Bechira Chofshas. That is no question. The entire Torah stands on Bechira Chofshas. You can't begin to write the Rad and Yad. You can't write the Sefer HaMitzvos if you're not a maimon of Bechira Chofshas. What the Rambam felt was necessary is to explain that the Rabbeinu Shalom gives free latitude to a person in Avodas Hashem. The Rabbeinu Shalom provides no impediments. Whatever we're obligated to do in Mitzvah Hashem, and V'alachta B'drochov is a chiyuv to have Midas Tovus, as the Ramchal tells us, as based in Chazal. So if we're so obligated, then it's within our potential to achieve it. So the Rambam wants to tell me to emphasize Bechira Chofshes. Why? Because if the Rambam wouldn't emphasize Bechira Chofshes, we might have said, yeah, there is Bechira Chofshes. But who says that Bechira Chofshes all the way to changing our Midas? You admitted, the Rambam, that Midas are harder to change than Maisim. So maybe that's beyond maybe the reason that it's harder to change is beyond Bechira Chofshes. That we don't really have the ability to change. Who said we have the ability to change? So the Rambam first discussed in the first four parokim, tshuva from masa avayers, actions which are improper. Now the Rambam wants to discuss tshuva from midas. Tshuva from midas, well, maybe the Bechir Chofshes doesn't go so far. So the Rambam goes out of his way to explain Bechir Chofshes to us. That we have the ability to make ourselves righteous and the ability to choose wrong. Midas is in Maisa HaMitzvah is part of the chiyuvim that we have. Then undoubtedly it means that we have the ability to do something about it. It is not something you can't have a chiyuv if there's no ability to do it. So So the Rambam is stressing, before he comes to stressing, to talking about tshuva and midas, the Rambam, discusses Bechira Chofshis, and after that, the Rambam comes back again to discuss tshuva for midas. He says in Perek Chamishi, we're the ones that did what's wrong. We have the ability. And here again, where does the Rambam cite? Derech is an attitude, and midas, as the Rambam writes, Yashav Rosh Adarko, which he writes in Perek Shvi. So that's what the Rambam was concerned with, that even in midas, as surprising as it is, but we have Bechira Chofshis in midas too. So in midas, we also have to do tshuva before the Rabbeinu Shabbat. And that's a very significant thing, and the truth of the matter is, in a certain regard, it's even more significant and more important than doing tshuva for the Maisei Averus. Why? In Shari Kedusha, Rav Chaim Vital raises the following, issue. The famous question, and that is, why is it that midas are not so discussed in the Torah? Those are all the things, observe Shabbos, don't eat chazah, don't get involved in immorality. No shortage of mitzvahs in the Torah, but the Torah does not so directly address midas Torahs. Why is that? The Torah doesn't tell us, don't be a balkas, and don't be a baltaiva, but it's discussed in much more general terms. So, the Shara Kedusha writes that the reason for that is because mitzvahs are a platform which is built upon the foundation of Midas Torahs. Midas Torahs precede the Taryag Mitzvahs. It's after a person has his Midas are in order, then we can talk about Taryag Mitzvahs. The Taryag Mitzvahs are already presupposing the Hachana, the preparation for the Taryag. It's the preparation for the Taryag Mitzvahs. Its foundation is Midas Torahs. Why? Because sinfulness comes because there are things in our personality which are improper and not worked out properly. So therefore, they find expression in the chaton. If we would be misaken the midas, and the midas would be, every one of them would be exactly correct, so then we wouldn't sin. Because in the year of Shemayim, everything would stay in check, would be in proper balance. Sinfulness comes because something's unbalanced in the midas. And that it sometimes expresses itself, our imperfections are expressed in Maisei Averus. So if we wanted, you know, if the house is shaky, so go to make sure the foundation is good. If the foundation is good, the house won't shake anymore. So first fix the house. So most of the chaton that we do are rooted in the chesonis and midas.
How does, I can understand how a person can choose to do one act over another, but can he actually choose to have a better mita?
Sure.
How can he go about that?
I'll tell you a very interesting thing. In the years, how can we choose to have a more refined mita? You know, I spent 3 years of my life, I lived in one house with Rav Henoch, Zeichet Tzadik Livroch, Zachis. So, I had time and opportunity which I used to discuss everything and anything under the sun with him. So one day I asked him the following question. And, you know, in general in life, my view is that you should seek advice from a person that succeeded in the area that you need advice in. You want to know how to make money? You ask a guy that made a lot of money. Don't ask a guy that never got to make $3 in his life how to make money. You know? You want to know how to learn shas? Yes, the guy that learned shas. How did he succeed in learning shas? And anything in life that you want to do, so seek advice from the person that succeeded in that area. That's the best advice. You know, everyone can have opinions. That's true. And they may have insights. But the guy that succeeded usually understands better than everybody else what the name of the game is and how to get. Rav Henoch Zatzal was a very unusual personality. He, in the mid-70s, before I was married, he became, took ill with myasthenia gravis. His refuah is a nest. There's no medical explanation for it. They gave him an operation. Well, it's a story in its own right that he recovered. I mean, the doctor's view of his situation was that he would just deteriorate and peter out, that there was no hope for him. But Baruch Hashem, in a few months, whatever, you know, it's a strange story, it got better. So I was with him, was Chalamay Pesach, and he was supposed to have surgery. The shita then was to remove the thymus gland. So he was supposed to have surgery right after Pesach, to remove the thymus gland. And he was on the phone. I had come to the house, whatever, Chalamay Pesach, to see him. And the doctor decided to go on vacation and cancel the operation, put it off for 2 months. And he was really very, very disturbed by it. And you could hear when he was on the phone speaking to the doctors of the irritation in his voice, you know, like how I just left him, you know, for 2 months, you know, in the lurch. So his sister-in-law was there. She said, I know him for 25 years already. It's the first time that there was ever a detectable sign of irritation. Didn't scream, but that there was ever a detectable sign of irritation in any expression of his is the first time in 25 years. He was a person that was very passionate. It's not that he was not a person that did not have deep, had very, very deep feelings, strong feelings. But he had iron self-control. Iron self-control. So I asked him the following question. I don't know, I'm not sure exactly what a psychologist are holding today. If they still hold this way, I hope they have a new view. But at that time, the prevailing view in the psychological world was that it's good to vent anger, because if it builds up within you, then it erupts. So it's better that it's vented, that it doesn't erupt. So I asked him what he says about their sheet. I mean, how a person, if he doesn't vent, so he's going to explode. So how could a person, keep his kasim? It's not the best thing in the world to do. After I asked him the question, so he gave me a very profound answer, and he was profound. He said the following. He said the satisfaction that a person has that he controlled himself is a tremendous satisfaction, and a person should take pleasure in that, and that will mitigate against the anger that he feels. Very profound. He was a profound person. His ins and his understanding of the human personality. So you ask, how does a person, that's an example. A person has an atiya to anger. But from his perspective, he saw that there's a way to deal with it. So we can, if we put our minds enough to it and train ourselves, we can advance from where we are. We're not stuck. We're stuck most of the time because we don't do anything about it. We don't really give thought to what drives aspects of personality and how we can in fact reprogram ourselves to operate at a better level than we're operating. And he was a person who demanded of himself and his leaders that he go forward, that he not stay in one place. And as I said, he was a very passionate person, a person of very, very strong feelings. If you knew him well, you could see at times when things affected him. But he had to read his body language well, but it didn't burst forth. If you knew him well, you could pick it up where he was, because what his feeling about something was. But it never came forth, never erupted, never. It's an example of how a person, you're all different things. The Bali Musar tell us that in life one has to seek to do two things based on Rabbi Yisrael. a piece that we did Friday night in the Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rabbeinu Yonah really articulates the same notion. And that is that a person should be lahaktin on his soul, and a person should lessen in his soul in the challenge. On the other hand side is lahagdil yira, to try to elevate ourselves in Yiro Shamayim, so we have a little bit more firepower to suppress a challenge. So the marshal that I give to my Talmidim all the time. The guy's lazy. He doesn't like to get up in the morning. At our age in life, few of us have the luxury to be lazy and not get up in the morning. You know, life doesn't allow it, so it's less of an issue. In one's youth, one can be lazy. You know, the world doesn't cave in on you if you don't necessarily show up exactly when you're supposed to, you know, based on the types of responsibilities you have at that age. So a guy's lazy. It's at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6:30, you're supposed to get up. Oh, you're tired, you don't feel the greatest. Oh, you'd rather pull up the covers and go back to sleep. Now, you decide that you don't want to live your life like that. You want to show up where you're supposed to, when you're supposed to. So what do you do? I really should be in shul for shachros, you know, when I'm supposed to be there. That's sleeping. So what do? It happens to be that I really like a coffee. I really like cappuccino. As I say, I'm a reformed addict. You know, I was fully addicted to coffee, 4 or 5 cups a day. And I think about 7 years already that I stopped. I gave it up. But I still get a rush if somebody brews a good cup of coffee, I still get a rush from it. You know. So, a person likes cappuccino, likes a latte. So he tells himself to follow. If I get up a minion in the morning, and so after shachris, I'll go over to Starbucks and I'll buy myself a latte. But if I don't get up for a minion in the morning when I'm supposed to, then I'm not going to go. I'm not going to get a coffee after the hour. So tomorrow morning he wakes up at 6 o'clock in the morning. And he's lazy, doesn't want to get out of bed. I'll bashmek the kava, he smells the coffee, you know. So now, he changed the name of the game. Until now, the Yetzer Tov was telling him, it's be a bench and go to the minyan. And the Yetzer Hara says, no, shlof sechayis, you gotta sleep. Now, what do they do? It's b'shnei Yitzracha, b'chol ha'bavachach, as I'll say, b'shnei Yitzracha. We need to employ the Yetzer Hara too, for good things. So now the Yetzer Hara wants him to get up. He says, you're gonna miss your coffee, you know. So here's a cheshuk for a coffee. I understand what it means to have a cheshuk for a coffee. So, in that way, we use the Yetzer Hara to bring us the good things. Sometimes a person might be inclined to do something in midas or maisa mitzvahs that he's not supposed to do. So, what does he have to do? If he realizes that it will impact upon him, on his kavod, on his dignity, then he'll back off. Not because he's so holy that he can't do the aveira, but listen, if I'm going to sin, I don't need the whole world to know that I sinned. You know, that's the story of Avraham Chassida and the Gemara Kedusha. Now, everything is relative in this world. It depends. When you say chosid, the name chosid means someone that lived his life on the madrega of lefnei mishur hadin. Now, who described the person as a chosid? We describe the person as a chosid. That's one thing. If the Chazon Ish described the person as a chosid, it's a different madrega. The Vilna Gaon described him as a chosid, the Shannon Anderma, it's a different madrega altogether. And what happens if Rabbi Akiva called him a chosid? That's a whole different level. So who called Rav Amram Chassida Chassida? The Amoraim called him Chassid. And you'll see what he did. And they didn't conclude it was Amram who we thought was a Chassid. No. When the dust settled, he was Rav Amram Chassida. He was Rav Amram, the pious one, without any doubt. What was the story of Rav Amram Chassida? Rav Amram Chassida, they lived in a time that, you know, maybe we're going back to that today, with all the piracy that exists. You know, kidnapping was a very prevalent problem. So they redeemed a whole bunch of women who had been kidnapped. And they didn't have hotels, so they needed a place to put them up. So what are they going to do with a bunch of women that have no husbands around? So the only place that they figured, listen, Rav Amram Chassidus is the holiest person around. So they put in Rav Amram Chassidus' house. But, listen, they understood human nature. So they put the women on the second floor of Rav Amram Chassidus' house. Now the ladder is the type of a steel ladder that you needed 10 men to move. Now Rav Amram Chassidus probably wasn't exactly a truck driver, you know. Say Ish Chosid, you know. Psar Avoyra wasn't exactly a truck driver. He didn't, you know, pick up. You know, I had a chaver that came from South Africa. So he lived 2-3 blocks away from Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And he decided he moved into the Yeshiva building. He had books till the Shemaim. He was a real intellectual from a real intellectual family. So he had two huge trunks, foot lockers of books. Now normally if you make a little box of books, you can't pick them up. So he loaded them up in two trunks. And there was a guy in Yeshiva who put one on each shoulder, and he marched the 3 blocks and up to the 4th floor and delivered them out of the house.
It's like the old Seltzer, man.
You know, I was Shimshon Agiva, you know. I remember the guy, you know. I remember I saw him walking down the block, one over each shoulder, and again, like he's carrying, you know, an orange on each hand, you know. So, but the Rav Chassidus, Kevin Forstel, we can imagine, he wasn't so, he didn't have such a boot. So they took the, schlepped the ladder away. So even if he wanted to go up there, the Yetzirah, okay, there was no way, he couldn't get up there. The Yetzirah came along, and Rav Amram Chassidus managed to schlep the ladder and put it where it, that he could go up to the second floor. And he started going up. And he was, interestingly, he was a modern man, Rav Amram Chassidus. Why do I say he was a modern man? He couldn't stop himself, but he didn't want to sin. So what did he do? So what did they say if one's in the street? Right, the best thing in the world is to yell fire. Because if you yell, it's like a gun over him. So everyone locks the door. But a fire, everyone's afraid that the house is burning down. So they run out to see where the fire is, how to get the fire out. So fire, everyone runs into the street. So if you're in danger, Khalil, in the street, you yell fire. That's the best day of attempting. So Rav Amram Chassidus understood this. So he said, Nu Rabbi Amram. He started screaming, there's a fire in Amram's house. And I guess, you know, we had the Chicago fire in the 1890s. The whole town could have gone down. So everyone came running to see to get this fire out before it took off. And there was a Rav Amram Chassidus still on the ladder. But so he had tremendous Yirah Shamayim. That when he saw the Yetzirah got the best of him, but he outsmarted the Yetzirah. It cost tremendously to his personal dignity. But he said, but at least he won't sin. They'll come, but he won't sin. Sometimes we have to give away our dignity, the realization that, listen, if I do this, well, you know, people will know about it. It's not going to be very pretty. It won't be very nice. So that's what we need to strengthen ourselves. So that's what we need to strengthen ourselves. So that's B'Shnei Yitzrach. We have to sometimes use, be wise enough and understanding enough to know how to use the Yetzirah for our purposes. To see that the Yetzirah, the Shaloi Lishmo within us desires the same thing as the Lishmo, but from a different angle. And then on top of that is Lahagdila Yir, to increase our understanding of Yir HaShemayim. So if we, on one hand we lessen the challenge, and on the other hand we increase the Yir HaShemayim, so we increase the odds of us succeeding in the task at hand. So the Rambam here in this parak comes to tell us that tshuva and midas is possible, and tshuva and midas is obligatory. Two things the Rambam tells us. So this is rooted in the fact that the Rambam went into at length an understanding of bechira chofshes, that we man is endowed with bechira. It's philosophically significant and practically. It's practically significant that we have such abilities, that we're not limited. It's philosophically significant too, because there are those, Yarakana discusses this, there are those that say, and in the non-Jewish philosophies of the world, that the free will cannot exist. Because free will means we stand outside the realm of the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Rabbeinu Shalom is supposed to control everything in the world. But if we have free will, so I could do what I want. So therefore, that's not in accordance with God's will. So how could that be? So There were, in fact, non-Jewish philosophers that say that argue philosophically that there can't be such a thing as Bechira Chavshus. And Yerach Tano discusses it. And he deals in this part, these parts of the Rambam, the philosophical areas, why philosophically it's correct. Because philosophically, a chiddush to be Bechira Chavshus. So that's what's driving Perek Shvi. That's why in Perek Shvi, the Rambam again comes back to a whole of Rishus Kol Odom, the Sunalo, Kamosha Biyarno. If we truly have a Chira Chofshis, that it's not only limited to Maisa HaMitzvahs, but it deals with issues of personality, of Midas as well. Now, Midas are not easy to correct. Midas are very, very hard. The world says of Rav Yisroel, that Rav Yisroel Salanta said that he could more readily learn the entire Shas than he could change one Midas in his personality. It's a very, very lengthy and difficult process. Elamai, it's like everything else in this world. If we seek always the maximum, and we're disappointed with anything less, so we're not going to go anyplace. If we realize the significance of each step forward that we take, so it's important. If we realize that the likelihood that none of us in this room are going to be billionaires, I don't know, maybe there's someone that is going to be a billionaire. The likelihood, the odds are against it. Odds on that no one sitting in this room is going to be a billionaire. So therefore, so we don't get up in the morning and go to work and earn a living to support ourselves. I won't be a billionaire, so I'll have the middle class challenges. But Alpha Peking, it's important enough that I take up the challenge. I don't run away from it. So even if we won't succeed to the nth degree, but each step forward is significant. So this is also the time before Yom Ha'aretz, we need to reflect not only on Maisa HaMitzvahs, but on issues of Midas. On issues of Midas, that we are, in fact, we could strengthen ourselves, new insights and self-understanding. And self-understanding of understanding ourselves and understanding others is very, very critical to succeeding in this world. We have to have realistic expectations of ourselves and realistic expectations of others. Because may the Rabbeinu Shel Olam grant that we fulfill that which the Rambam wrote in Perek Shvi, that in Maisa Tshuva we succeed in somewhat addressing the issue of Midas too, and not only Maisa Mitzvahs. A good Yorah, but you succeed also.